Two summers, Joshua has come to Solid Rock and served as a counselor, as well as a photographer for camp. And we've just enjoyed getting to know him and enjoyed his contributions over the years. And he asked if we were interested in him preaching this Sunday. So he's currently on pastoral staff at Fairview Bible Church in Port Angeles, Washington. So welcome.
Thank you very much, Noah. That's a very warm welcome. Thank you very much. Yeah, truly, every time that I have the opportunity to come and share from God's Word, it's a privilege to be able to share His Word with His people. This morning, we're going to be talking about the ministry entrusted to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you guys wanted to start turning there. As he said, I'm from Washington State. This is my second summer here at Solid Rock. And really, it has been an absolute privilege to come and be a part of the Lord's work here. Even this summer, our staff has discussed time and again how amazing it is that God continues to open the doors in spite of everything going on in the world to continue doing this ministry. And we've been able to see kids come to know the Lord. We've been able to see kids strengthened in their walk. And really, I am just amazed at the privileges, at the privilege that God gives us to be ministers of His gospel. So let's talk about that ministry that's entrusted to us. I came in a couple weeks early to quarantine back in May, and that's actually the first time I shared this message. I was with our little quarantine church. And actually, that Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. And we talked about how as we the Jesus movement exploded in the first century, and we read in Acts it turned the world upside down. The Spirit inspired believers and empowered them to share a message so powerful that not only were people willing to die for it, I think more impressively, they were willing to live for it. Pandemics, riots, corruption, this increasing uncertainty about the future, it should alarm us to the fact that the world needs now the same thing that it needed then. So let's talk about this revolutionary message that changed the world in the first century. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to be focusing on verses 11 through 21. Paul is explaining his ministry to a very troubled church. Now, in the first half of this chapter, and we're going to talk about the book here in a second. First half of this chapter, he's just waxing poetry and giving a strong encouragement that this troubled and temporary world is not our home. It's not where we're going to spend eternity. And now we get to see what we have the privilege of doing with all this information. But let's talk a little bit about the context of this letter. In 1 Corinthians, Paul addresses some very serious concerns with the church in Corinth. There was some extreme types of sin going on, all sorts of dysfunction in the leadership within the body. And when he sent the first letter, we find out that the Corinthians didn't take to it very well. So after a second letter and what is called the painful visit, the Corinthians were starting to realize we blew it. They're starting to realize how much that they've offended this man who poured so much into them. And so Paul's idea here is just to explain to them that his heart is for them and that restoration and reconciliation are possible through Jesus. And that word reconciliation is going to be our key word for the day. So let's go ahead and read through this passage, starting in verse 11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known to you, also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's have a quick word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us to see what he has for us today. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this chance to come to listen to your word, to learn from you. I pray that your spirit would open our hearts for what it is that you have for us in your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. So going back to verse 11, therefore, we're getting our why. Now, we know the fear of the Lord, and it's a trembling, reverent fear. But 1 John tells us that a fear that drives us away from the Lord isn't what we should be looking for. Rather, when we understand God's justice and wrath, how much greater can we understand his mercy and grace? And now that we understand that, we have the desire to share the hope that we have, resting in that mercy and grace. And so that first part of chapter 5 is all about the promise of the heavenly dwelling. In spite of what we may face in this life, we will all stand before Christ and enter into eternity. Moving on to verses 12 through 14, we are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. So the people in Corinth were very easily led astray by people who were eloquent, who had wealth, who looked impressive. I mean, anyone who looks impressive and speaks well, it's someone that's easy to listen to. We all have a tendency to prefer that over someone who stumbles over their words, maybe, or is monotone. The problem is, these teachers were false teachers. They were not sharing a true gospel. And they were rather more interested in following these false teachers than Paul, who was sharing an uncorrupted truth with them. And so he's even while offering restoration and reconciliation to this church, he's offering a defense for himself, explaining why his words are trustworthy and true. And explaining that Christ's death was for all, he's including himself in with the Corinthians. He doesn't want there to be so much separation, thinking of the minister and the ones who are ministered to. Christ died for all of us. This is a group thing. We are all in this boat. Every believer has been dead to sin and is now made alive through Christ and through the power of the resurrection, which you may notice this theme throughout some of Paul's letters if you read them. He repeats it a lot. But moving on to verses 16 and 17, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now that we are alive to Christ, there's a transformation. Our flesh is no longer what defines us. We're no longer bound to Adam's sin heritage. Christ makes us a new creation, taking away the corruption and defilement of sin and giving us supernatural righteousness. And now we're really getting into the heart of the gospel, this transformation that takes place. The new creation is manifested through the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts, and a supernatural love that defies explanation. Referring back to the first half of chapter 5, we will see the glorification of this resurrection life after our time here in this temporary and troubled world is done. But let's keep moving forward as we really get into what this ministry is that is entrusted to us. Verse 18, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Perhaps one of the most vivid recent examples of supernatural reconciliation took place on October 2nd, 2006 in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. That day, Charlie Roberts entered an Amish schoolhouse, shot 10 girls, killing 5 of them, and wounding the other 5 severely. He then took his own life. That same day, the Amish neighbor of the family of Charlie Roberts walked up to the shooter's house, offered condolences, and promised that the Amish did not hold their family responsible. As weeks went by, the Amish community made sure that a portion of the money donated for the victims' families went to the Roberts family as well. The very parents of the slain girls attended the burial of Roberts, standing as a shield between the media and the shocked, grieving Roberts family. And as I think about those Amish families, the sacrifice that they were willing, the sacrifice of justice, I think by our definitions and standards, they had every right to be angry, to scream for justice, to ask those parents why would they allow their son to live that way, to do that. But that's not the way they chose to act. And I can't help but imagine the unbearable sacrifice the Father gave for us in Jesus. In spite of our open yet ignorant rebellion and wicked hearts, God initiates forgiveness. He offers us a chance to come back into a right relationship with Him, even though we're the ones who broke it. And this is the relationship that we were created for. The greatest commandments are to love God with all our hearts, souls, minds, and strength. And the next is to love your neighbor as yourself. And in a broken and sin-saturated world, these are acts of radical reconciliation when they're truly acted upon. Our culture is ever increasingly vindictive. In our cancel culture, we see a poor choice of words turn into ostracization. A past lapse in judgment is deemed a present character flaw. People want to see the bad guys get what they deserve, not realizing the condemnation they're bringing on themselves. Which I understand, even as I look at my brother. I can think of times when I've been angry and upset with him, and I just wanted him to get what was coming to him. And it's really easy to get small-minded and miss the big picture of what I deserve because of how far against God I've gone. That separation from Him. I'm so grateful God doesn't view us this way. Verse 19. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. His love is infinite, unlike our sin. He doesn't count my trespasses against me. Rather, He offers me and you a part in His grand plan to renew His creation with the gospel message. We become ambassadors, representatives. In spite of our consistent failure, God doesn't cancel us. The honor of being His servant is offered solely through the power of the cross. I was very grateful for the music selection today that all pointed to the work of Jesus on the cross. Because if we were to try and be God's ambassadors in our own power, we would fail miserably. The only power that we have to truly and accurately represent God comes from Himself and the Spirit indwelling us. We don't have to be ashamed of ourselves as new creations. And while we may feel guilty for the things we've done, we don't have to be defined by those things anymore. God speaks through us. And verse 21 explains how this can be possible. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. And this is probably one of the most important verses for understanding the crucifixion. We can only be ambassadors for God if we are holy. And I think all of us can look in our own hearts and recognize that we are not. We are not perfect. We are not set apart to God's ways. We're not even inclined to listen to Him. We're so far from holy that God's justice demands eternal death as punishment. So Jesus took on the very sin that separates us from Him. The only innocent to ever live bore the weight of our shame and guilt as blood flowed down the cross of Calvary, the wrath stored up for us was poured out on Jesus. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, Paul, again, talking about this, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." The ministry of reconciliation is possible because of Christ's ministry of reconciliation, because of his humbling of himself, his willingness to submit to a higher yet painful will. So now, because of what Jesus has done, and I love this, those who have confessed with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believed in their heart that God has raised him from the dead, Romans 10:9, shall be saved. Not only saved from the eternal punishment of sin, not just set free from that, but through the righteousness bestowed on us, we're adopted into a divine heritage. Adam's sin heritage or Christ's righteousness. We get the option now. We're given a place to dwell with our Creator forever. So what do we do? What do we do with this newfound freedom? This salvation, it's right here. We're given the responsibility in sharing this message. Reconciliation in Lancaster County didn't stop in those weeks after the shooting. As shot community members reeled, the Roberts parents made visits to every victim's family. At every home, they were welcomed. One of the girls who survived lost her ability to speak and all use of her limbs. Mrs. Roberts offered to come into the home of that family at least once a week to help care for her and offer the family a break from the constant care that she now required. While the Amish culturally avoid most public speaking engagements with outsiders, dozens would go on to attend and support the meetings of Mrs. Roberts that she was invited to speak at to share the story of how forgiveness had brought so much healing to those involved in the tragedy. The ministry of reconciliation, this is not a one-and-done deal. It is a conscious choice made every day to forgive those who have wronged you and extend the divine grace that you yourself have received. Love your enemies. Be kind to the person who called you a rude name. Be patient with the person who insulted your political or religious beliefs, or the one who disagrees with you about a mask. Do not envy those who live life for themselves and have so much more than you. Don't insist on your own way with your horn or your finger in traffic. Don't resent the family member that hurt you. I want to challenge you to think if there's someone you need to forgive. Don't wait to act on your responsibility until you feel like it. Even in generations past in my own family, the consequences of bitterness and unforgiveness are devastating. The separation and pain it causes are very counter to Christ's ministry. And if we are to be effective ministers of his gospel, we must model reconciliation in our own lives. So think of that person, if you have one, that you need to forgive. Don't wait to act on the responsibility until you feel like doing it. Find that person and initiate the conversation. I would even challenge you to do it this week if possible. Let them know that God has appointed you as his ambassador, and because of what he has done and his power, you now have the power to forgive them. So really the question is, with this ministry entrusted to us, are you willing to be an ambassador for God? Because as amazing as the benefits are with this job, the responsibility is heavy. The weight is heavy. The cost of discipleship is not cheap. Will you share the message of reconciliation with your words and your deeds? For my coworkers at camp, there's going to be moments of intense frustration, anger, even heartbreak. As campers break rules, they hurt themselves and each other. They fight against the God who is saving them. And as God's ambassador, they may try to fight you. Are you ready to love them? For the congregation here at PBF, the challenge is the same. I assume most of you don't have campers that you're working with this summer, but every relationship in your life, you're representing the King. Will you take the opportunity to do so well? Something that's very important that we do before we go out every day and be a representative of the King is to make sure that we're in right relationship with that King. So I want to share Psalm 51 as a benediction. Let's make sure that we're reconciled now with the Lord as we look to start this week, as we look for opportunities to do our jobs as ambassadors. Let's make sure that we are in communication and right relationship with our God. Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Father, as we come before you today, as we look out at this week, we know that we cannot accomplish the ministry you've given us without your power. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of forgiveness, that we don't have to bear the weight of our sin and shame anymore. Lord, help us to accept and live in the truth of what Jesus has done for us, of what he's given us, of our new divine heritage. Father, I pray for each and every one of us as we interact with one another as brothers and sisters, as co-laborers in the kingdom. Give us a spirit of grace, of mercy, as we seek to build your kingdom here. In Jesus' name, amen.